Well, hi guys, and I think your project sounds amazing. I am technically an author. I am the least qualified person ever to be an author, probably because I wasn't following all of the rules. I suppose that's part of the creative process, is not always following the rules. When I was in school, when I was your age, and even quite a bit older, I thought I knew what I wanted to do with my life. I wanted to do something else that was creative. I had no interest in writing. Writing was not my jam. I like to sing and dance and act. And so I wanted to go off to university and I wanted to study those fields and I wanted to be a professional performer. And that is what I did for years. I did dinner theater and children's theater. I did some modeling. I've sung on bad movie soundtracks. Let's see, I've sung in bad bands. Oh, I sang for President of the United States. I've done a lot of weird, unusual performing things. I have my master's degree in, which is the next level up at university here in the United States, in opera performance. So I've done some opera singing as well. And that's kind of like my original creative world was all based on performing other people's stories on stage, which I love. I love telling stories. It's my favorite thing. I love audiences. I love working with other people in the creative process. One of the other things, though, I got really good at, though, when I was doing all of this performing, was that I got really good at being rejected. Funny enough, when you are a performer, you and are doing it for a living, you have to keep auditioning to find new jobs and get paid to be able to then pay your bills. Because while it's a fun creative process, it's also a business. So you do a lot of auditioning, which means you then also hear a lot of no. I'm really good at hearing the word no. I heard no all the time. Like, you know when you're a performer, you're going to get rejected, but they really mean it. Like, you get rejected a lot. Like, you will go to 100 auditions and you're lucky if you get one job. Like, you hear no all the time. And then you get good at it because you have to like keep going back out there to find another job and pay the bills and eat. I like food, like a great deal. I mean, so much. So, I always had to keep finding another job. And that's a fun thing. And I was able to make a kind of a living at performing, which was a miracle. But at one point, I was auditioning for a show that was the show. We had just opened a show. I was doing a dinner theater show that was going to run almost 4 months. And we were already auditioning for another show down the road at that same theater. So I went to the audition. It was for a show I loved. And I gave my audition, and they called me and they asked me to come back and see me again because they liked me. They wanted me to do a callback. So I went back to another audition. I went to another audition after that. I went to another one after that. I was so certain I was going to make that show because they really liked me. Then I got to the dressing room for the show I was doing and found out that everybody else in my dressing room had gotten a call telling them they had made the show, which meant that I hadn't. And that was a serious bummer because then you have to act like you're happy for everybody else. And like, yeah, no, I wasn't bothered by that at all. Yes, I was. I was really good at being rejected. It didn't matter how good I was at it. That one really bothered me. To this day, I still cannot tell you why that rejection really bothered me. But that night, for the first time when I went home, I had an opening line of a book in my head, which was really weird because I wasn't a writer in school. Writing to me in school was all about trying to figure out what the teacher wanted to hear and then write that so I could get the good grade or just turn it in and get it over with and move on. Like, it wasn't a real creative process to me. It wasn't something I wanted to do. I hadn't written anything like other than, I don't know, grocery lists and stage directions and my name in years. And like the last real thing I'd written was probably something about music for a term paper and university. So I had no interest in writing, but I had this opening idea for a book. And I started looking at books around me in a weird way. I don't know if you guys have ever done this, but have you ever looked at a book and went, wow, there's a lot of words in that book?
Yeah, I did it.
I'd never done that before. But it's like this weird moment where you're like, wow, and who does that? Like, who sits down and writes that many words that when like you put them together all make sense? And they do it on purpose. Like, they choose to do that. In school, like, writing was the last thing I wanted to do. But people sit there and they write all of these words on purpose. Like, how does that work? So I wasn't writing because when I decided, oh, I have this interesting idea for a book, it wasn't because, oh, I want to be an author, I want to be creative with this, or I want to do whatever. I just kind of wanted to know what it took to write a book. Because all I knew about writing a book, since I'd never really taken any creative writing classes, I wasn't a writer really in school. All I knew about writing a book is a book had a beginning, a middle, and an end. And I just wrote to find out if I could get to the end. And I sat down every day and I wrote, and oh, I did get to the end of that book. And it's terrible. Like, so bad. Worst book ever written. If any of you guys ever decide to be an author, I dare you to try to write a book as bad as I did. You can't do it. So bad. And I was really proud of that book. Like, I knew it was bad, but I was so proud because it had a beginning, a middle, and an end. It was all typewritten words. Most of them made sense. Like, all those words belonged to me. I did it on purpose. It wasn't an assignment. But when I wrote then, writing was suddenly not about following rules that the teachers wanted me to follow to be able to get the good grade and turn it in. It wasn't about trying to figure out what my teacher wanted to hear, which was a novelty to me because that's always what it was about. How do you con the game? Like, you know, do the game the system and make sure you get exactly what the teacher wants to hear so you can move on. It wasn't about that because there was no one else I was writing for but me. Suddenly it was a puzzle, like a super interesting puzzle. Like, how do I put all these pieces in place and be able to like come up with a story? It was a bad story. It was all terribly written, but it was mine. And I was really intrigued by the whole idea, like, maybe I could do this again on purpose and do it better. And I just kept writing to try to find out how to do it better. And the more I wrote, the more I realized the reason I was doing it was because I had questions that I wanted answered. And so I was writing stories to answer certain questions for myself about the world or about the way we live or just kind of in general, like, why do people do the way they things they do? I just started writing for those reasons. And I kept writing. I've learned that writing is a lot like acting. You get rejected a lot. I also learned that, like anything in acting or singing or dancing that I did, writing isn't something that you're just naturally gifted at. I think a lot of us think that when you have to be creative at something, either there are creative people or there aren't. There are talented people or they're not. And for me, I don't know, all of it required a great deal of practice. Writing or singing or dancing, any of the things that I did that were creative. Yeah, you have to have a little bit of like, I want to do this, but you don't sit down and naturally are good at it. I needed a lot of practice as a writer. That first book that I wrote was bad, but so was the second one. The third one was getting better, but still wasn't good. The fourth one wasn't good. It was my fifth book that I wrote that became my first published novel. And since then, I write very different things. Those were goofy and silly and funny, and now I write nothing that's goofy and silly and funny. I think the only thing that's similar about what I write was that I kind of kill people in books. That's kind of my jam. If you guys have ever had a talk about and like, you know, with your teachers about when you read a book, you know, wait, what's the conflict in this book? Dead body, total conflict. Running for your life, conflict, my total kind of conflict. But I used to write goofy, silly books, and I changed that even still, where they're not anything like what I used to write. I keep changing as an author and a writer, and I keep getting better, I think. I get a little bit different as I go. Perhaps because as part of the creative process, you're always finding the next new story to tell and you're finding a better way to tell it. But that's how I work. I guess I should say a lot of you guys, the reason I often have problems calling myself a real writer still, not just because I didn't do it in school, was that I tend to break the rules. We're back to that break the rules thing. A lot of you probably in class have had to outline. You have to write what you're going to write before you write it. Do you actually like outlining? Yeah. Anyone like outlining?
No, I don't. Not really.
I write the outline afterwards. You guys might think that an author would know where a story goes before they start it. And it sounds like a genius plan. Like, yes, you probably should. And so many authors do. I used to write murder mystery novels. You would think I know who done it when I kill somebody off at the beginning and then I have to investigate the crime throughout. I have no idea. I don't. I have no clue. I write like a reader. I write to find out what happens next. So I have an idea. I have a question I want to answer. I have a story where it starts. And then I sit down every day and I try to find out what happens next, which means that I feel stupid most of the time because I can sit at the and look at the blank page and I have no idea what's going to happen next, but clearly something does because I'm not at the end of the story. And I feel frustrated and I wish I were better at this and I doubt myself all the time, but I sit down every day, not just because it's my job, because, although I have like the greatest job in the world. I sit there every day because I really do want to know what the answer to the question is that I've asked, or I want to know what happens next in the story. Like any like movie, you don't want to leave in the middle. You want to know what happens at the end. Except in this case, I have to write it. So, but that's kind of how I work, is I come up with an idea of where something starts. And then I keep going and hope I get to the end. And I hope it makes sense. And then I have to rewrite it like 20 bazillion times so it's better and someone might want to read it.
Okay, so do you still have Thank something you. To say or?
No, you guys can ask questions.
Okay, so.
Forever if you really wanted me to, but that seems pointless.
No, it's okay. So I'm going to start with my question. So my question is, how long have you been working in this area?
So as a writer?
Yeah.
I think I wrote my first really bad book about 15 years ago.
Okay. And then is there anything else other than dancing or singing that sparked inspiration in writing?
You know, when it comes to every individual book, there's inspiration. So, I mean, that first novel that I wrote, it was my acting getting rejected that sparked it. And a lot of you guys have probably been told when you write to write something you know about. That opening line I came up with for that book was bitter and rejected and really, really unhappy, because that's what I was feeling at the time. And the whole book was about theater and being rejected. But since then, I've wrote about all sorts of things. And it's amazing what will inspire you. Everyday things inspire me. I teach voice lessons. And I had a student who was trying to get into university for music and theater. And it can be very competitive here. They hear no a lot. Because they don't just get in with their grades. They have to audition and hope to get in. And that's the top programs, like 800 students will audition and they take like 20 into the program. So there's a lot of rejection. And she completely had a meltdown in my studio. There were so many tears and all sorts of freaking out because she was so concerned that she'd ruined her life and did everything wrong. And she hadn't smiled enough at the people she auditioned to. And I told her, yeah, the process was stressful. It was all going to be okay. But you know, it all turns out typically all right. And no, she didn't pay attention to that. She paid attention to how stressful it was. Like she wasn't worried about it being okay. She never thought it was going to be okay. And she started freaking out about what's it going to be like next in a couple of years when her brother goes to school and how much more stressful it will be. And I told her it couldn't get worse. Well, that ended up being the inspiration for writing the testing trilogy that I wrote. I started wondering how could I make it worse to get in university? Like that was my inspiration, was my student having an absolute humiliating tear fest in my studio. And she knows I talk about this frequently and she's really okay with it. There's actually a YouTube video. She's made the first, she's done a read aloud of the first three chapters of the testing trilogy now because she was the inspiration and she stuck at home. And so she decided to do it so people could actually see she is really real and in real life, she's totally fine. Because I do talk about her absolute freak out a lot. So, I mean, that was an inspiration. The internet was an inspiration for one of my series. I have friends that post things on social media that they should never say. And they say like they would never do it in real life. You guys may have friends that do this. They post stuff online and you're like, what are you doing? Everyone knows it's you. Why are you saying that? And then I also have friends that click on links that say get free stuff. And they actually think when they click on the link for free stuff, they're going to get free stuff. They haven't learned yet that they just end up getting hacked And then they have to change their password and they apologize to everybody. And then a week later, they're clicking on the same get free stuff links. So I decided to write a book about those crazy people. Like, what would they do if they got to be anonymous and they wrote free stuff? Like, that was my inspiration, was my crazy friends online. So there's inspiration around every corner. I've learned to ask what if a lot. I think a lot of creative people end up asking that question in different ways. What if I tried it this way? Like, as an actor, that's what you always did as well. Like, you have a script. This is the way the story is supposed to go. But what if you chose to react a different way? How would that play out on the stage? I've done the musical Annie, and I don't know if you're familiar with it at all, but there is, in that stage play, a lot of people think, oh yeah, well, the secretary always ends up with Daddy Warbucks and they all become this cute family. There is nothing written in the play that says that anywhere. So I've done it where there is no love story, but depending on the choices you make, it can look like there's a love story. It can change everything, but it's all about the choices you make. What if I chose something else? So that's kind of how I create my stories, is what if I did this? And then I go down the rabbit hole and find out.
Okay, thank you for responding to my questions.
Sure thing.
Okay, now it's turn of my friend.
Hi, my name is Bella. My first question is, what do you like about your job and what are the challenges?
Oh, I have the best job ever. Because I get to kill people in books for a living. It's awesome. Only in books. Don't tell your parents I said I get to kill people for a living, because that's not the case. But I'm the girl that like feeds the chipmunks in the backyard and freaks out if anything happens to like little critters that are running free. So probably I would be bad as an assassin. But you know, I love that I get to ask questions, that I get to push myself to walk in other people's shoes. As a writer, as an actor, that's one of my favorite things I got to do, was see things from another perspective. Because obviously I know my experience. But I feel like the artist's experience is to like not just show what they see through their own eyes, but to kind of show what other people see, to walk in their shoes, to step outside of yourself and look at things in a new way. I think it makes me a better person, which is lovely. And it also frustrates all my friends, because I'll be like, well, yes, but what if somebody looks at it this way? And they're like, no, you only are supposed to see this. No. So I like that. I love that about my job, that I get to choose to be immersed in another life and see a whole different side of things and kind of pick things apart and find out how things work. I love the research. I love research so much. I love learning new and random stuff. My favorite part about my phone isn't that people can call me, but that when I'm doing other things, I can Google something at a moment's notice and find out about it. I love that. I love talking to you guys. Like, I didn't realize that was going to be like part of my job, was talking to readers. I didn't start off writing young adult books. I wrote adult books that are goofy, silly mysteries where camels, ex-circus camels wear hats. I'm not kidding about that. There's a whole thing. They're funny. Death can be funny, but we'll discuss. I electrocute a roller derby girl in a dunk tank at one point. Like, you can really do weird things. And coming up with how to do that, that was super interesting part of my job. And the electrician I talked to probably will never speak to me again. But, because he was very concerned about what I might be working on. It was only in a book. But I love all those things about my job, that I get to actually talk to readers and we get to talk about these kind of things and what it's like to walk in other people's shoes and all these questions I have, I get to discuss them with other people in ways that don't sound completely insane sometimes. So I love that. The hard, challenging parts of my job, oh, there's lots of them. Part of it is because I'm a terrible writer when it comes to knowing what's going to happen next. I can't see what's going to happen next. So I do feel stupid a lot, like so stupid. And there's nobody who can help me with that. There just isn't. One of the things that I miss in acting is that you can often be inspired by the person you're working with on stage. Because I loved stage acting the best, because every day it changed. The audience was different. The people were different on stage. So every day an audience would laugh at something. It would give you a new energy. The show ran for like 5 months. So you would make different choices on stage just because you were bored or like, what would happen if I tried this? It evolved. But you had a partner on stage all the time. So when you said something, they would say something back, maybe in a different way that inspired you to do something else. That isn't the case when you're writing. It's you and a blank page in front of you. And you kind of have to get through the low points on your own. Yes, I have an agent, I have an editor, I have people who are really gonna help me. And they do push me after the draft is done to make it better, and they collaborate and they are that inspiration. But until then, it's just me and the blank page. And there are some days that you figure, I'm never getting to the end of this. It really, you are certain that you are never going to finish, and you are the worst person ever, and everyone's going to realize how bad you are, and you're just doomed. Those aren't very happy days. But I have the best job ever, so I keep doing it. But yeah, those days are not so good. I will say also, the worst part is when someone wants me to make an outline. Really not a good choice for me. My outlines are filled with don't count on this and maybe, and well, this I guess could happen, but probably not. Like, that's basically what my outlines read like.
Okay, thank you. My second question is, what was the most important or memorable moment of your career so far?
Oh, okay, I have two. I will say that the testing trilogy is one that funny enough, I think the third book in the series just came out in Italy the week after I talked last to some of your classmates. So it just came out, which is kind of fun. But when the book came out, the first one came out in 2013 here in the United States. And normally when a book comes out, people will buy it right away, and then after a couple of months, people forget about it. And your publisher is always super excited about the first weeks the book comes out, because that's the time it's going to get the most notice. And so it came out in June, and it was the middle of December that I woke up to learning that the book had hit the New York Times list, which was really weird because it was 6 months later. And funny enough, that was one of the more important moments, because I didn't know if anyone was really reading it, or it turns out it did. And it's the reason why places like Italy now have it and everything, was that it just continued to go. And it made me feel like, oh, wait, I might be able to really do this as a living. It's amazing. Someone actually, people are really excited about this. So it kind of gave me that moment of for the first time feeling like maybe I was an author. Like, I still struggle with whether or not I'm a real writer, because I didn't do it so much in school. But I got to call myself in a more confident way, like, wait, I might actually be an author. And that's kind of a good thing when you're sitting down in front of the blank page and you're really scared about not being able to fill it. You're like, well, yeah, but technically I'm an author. I'm supposed to be able to do this. Like, people say I can do this. It was also a little terrifying because it made me realize people were reading what I was writing, which meant that when I write now, I kind of think about, oh, wait, someone might actually read this, where it was way easier to write when I figured nobody was going to read it. Like, when it was going to be just my mom, because my mom loves everything I do. Even the bad book that I wrote that nobody should ever read, my mom liked that. My mom is delightful and so wrong about that book. And then the other thing that I think is perhaps the most important thing in my career, and I would have answered this very differently, or big turning points for me, or momentous moment, I would have answered this differently just a couple of months ago, is because of what I'm working on now. In 2015, now remember, I'd hit the New York Times list. I had been on the list a couple of times now. Our books were selling really well. I was supposed to be kind of a sort of a deal. Not a big deal, but at least a little deal. And my publisher was really excited about my books. And I sent her a pitch to a book and she liked it. I wrote the first couple chapters. She liked that, told me to write the rest. It was under contract. I wrote the book, I turned it in, and she wasn't sure what she thought about it. And she told me to revise it. And I did. I revised it 9 times, rewrote the whole book 9 times over a period of about 3 or 4 months. And by the end of that, she went, you know what? I don't know why it's not working for me. It just isn't. He's like, so we don't want to cancel your contract. Would you want to write something else? I'd spent a year writing that book and several months revising it for her over and over and over again. And it was devastating because she couldn't tell me. She's like, she liked so much about it. She just couldn't tell me why it didn't completely work. And so I set the book to the side and I wrote a different one. I blew up a school. That was interesting. The things I do, and it was something I didn't want to talk about ever. But a couple of months ago, I came up with an idea to totally rewrite that book. And I reimagined the world. And I've been working on it since. I've got the first 100 pages. And it's better. And I started to realize maybe that was a book I wasn't ready to write yet. Maybe I wasn't in the right place. Maybe it wasn't the right time. Maybe just the world wasn't in the right place for that book. Sometimes you can get ahead of yourself. So I'm rewriting it now. And I'm so glad. And I would never have said I was going to be glad that I had a year's worth of work and got flattened by my editor. Because boy, that was a rejection that stung. Because then you start to doubt yourself. And am I ever going to be able to write anything that anyone's ever going to like again? And now I'm really glad for it. Because I think what I'm working on now is so much more powerful and interesting. But boy, I wouldn't have said that then.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
hi.
My first question is, where does your inspiration come from?
All over the place. Everything. Whatever I can ask what if to, that's where I'm going to get inspired by. It comes from everywhere. My most recent series, the first book is Verify. I think it's on.
And
I guess I got this. This one came from hearing one of our political leaders here, and you might be able to guess which one, say to people in early 2017, January of 2017, don't pay attention to anything you read. Don't listen to the news and believe any of that. Only believe what I tell you. And boy, that made me go, wow, really? And I asked, what would that look like? Like, really, what would it look like if no one knew how, like no one went out and actually verified if something is true and just decided, sure, I'm just going to believe whatever the government says. I had some real questions about that. So I wrote a whole series. The second one is coming out in September. I wrote it just because I was like, hey, what if that actually happened? And then I built a world around it. That's kind of where it comes from. Or when I blew up the school, it was all because of the students that I talked to. I heard like certain things from certain students and I wanted to explore certain ideas. I know, I get the laughing from, because I blew up a school. There weren't a lot of people in it. School was not in session at the time. It was the week before school started. So there was only so many people there, but yeah, that's an interesting thing, let me tell you. But yeah, I get inspiration from everywhere. I ask what if, and I find a question that just, I can't seem to stop thinking about. And then I just jump down a hole and see where it goes. Did we lose Jada?
Yeah, we lose.
Good, that's really interesting. And my next question is, can you describe your creative process?
Oh, you're assuming that I have a real process. Well, with writing, I ask what if. I find an idea that I really want to work on. And then the next thing I do is I build the world that story fits into, like that would tell that story well. When I wrote the testing trilogy, I wanted to write about the test that you guys often have to take. Here in the States, we have like the world's worst testing process ever, in which like, everything is determined by the government. Like how much money your school gets determined by how well people do on tests. Like really? No pressure there, guys. You don't do well on your test and you're not gonna get any heat in the winter. Like so weird. I have so many thoughts and people judge themselves based on these tests and I just have so many thoughts. So I wanted to write about tests and whether tests could do what they say they can do. Like, can they really determine your potential and how successful you're going to be in your future? I have doubts. Remember, I wasn't a writer in school. I wasn't supposed to be an author. So boy, do I have doubts. So I wanted to write about that. And I wanted to write about the test that happened at that moment. Like, so 2013 is when that book came out. So I should have said it then. But I kill people in books. And while we are bad at testing and mean with testing, we're not as crazy as I needed us to be yet. So I needed to find a world that could kill people with tests. And what would that look like? So I then destroyed the world and I rebuilt it and I created world wars and everything to be able to create a scenario in which there was one university only that anyone in the United States could go to, and they could really make it way more stressful to get into. Like, so I started there. And then once I had the world, okay, well, what kind of character would live in this world that wants to be a part of this whole thing? Because I mean, hello, if people are killing people with tests, why would anyone want to do that? So I had to come up with who that would be. Maybe she doesn't know about that. And how would she not know? And where would she grow up then? And then I just started write. And I continue to write until I get to the end of the story. The way I typically work, though, is I work, I do have a little bit of a process in between it. I mean, I write every day. Because I don't outline, I have to write every day in order to be able to figure out and remember where I was and what comes next. Otherwise, I'm doomed. Because then I'd have to go back and reread everything and try. That would be a mess. So there's that. But I write to what's called chapter hooks. So I will write and I'll get so far in a chapter, I'll get halfway through, and then try to figure out where am I going. Like, I can see that one more step ahead. So I try to find out what the cool thing is that makes you have to turn the page at the end of the chapter. So you have to keep reading, even though you're like, yeah, I'm just going to read a chapter because that's all my teacher told me to read. I want you to have to keep reading, and that you're going to totally ignore what your teacher wanted you to do. And you're going to like read to the end because you just keep getting to the end of that chapter and you flip the page. So I figure out that it's, oh, look, there's this thing here. Oh, look, there's a nail that just went through somebody's eye. So now you have to turn the page and see if they live or die. Like, you know, I do that. And, you know, that's kind of how it works. And then I get to the end. And in that case, I thought the book was going to be one book. And it turns out by the time I got to the end of the first book, I had more questions than I had answers. And it took three. I'm not very bright.
Hi.
Hello.
My first question is, how do you kickstart your creativity and generate new ideas?
Well, the what if thing is good. Like, just looking out the window and going, gee, what if that van is meant to come, like, is waiting to kidnap somebody? You know, you can kind of do that all over the place and ask, like, the goofy questions. What if your teacher is actually an alien and he's intent on, like, you know, using all of this technology to take over the world? Maybe, like, we had to keep going into Google Meets, not because, like, there was really a technological glitch, but because he was finding some way to, like, you know, control, mind control you. You know, I've got all sorts of what ifs. So that's the easy part. The kickstarting every day, I mean, a deadline is good. Like, knowing that it's your job kind of makes you sit down every day. Oh, look, maybe I should do this instead of playing Animal Crossing. I mean, there is that kind of a vibe that is there. But really the thing that drives me and keeps me going is probably the part that makes me feel like I do it wrong, is that I don't outline. I don't know what is going to happen next. So there is kind of that. I mean, there is also the question of whether I'm going to be able to write anything that day and come up with what happens next. But the anticipation of turning the page and finding out whether somebody lives or dies or what's going to happen next is kind of super fun when it happens. But it only happens if I sit down and write. So, you know, as stupid as I feel, it gets me sitting in the chair to do it. And then when I'm about halfway through writing the book you're writing, often you get another really great idea for a book. And so you, if you're not under contract, you might want to abandon the one you're on because the one you're on feels really hard to write because you don't know what happens next. Don't do that, by the way. Don't ever abandon your project in the middle. Actually get to the end of it, because just because it's hard doesn't mean that you shouldn't be doing it. It's always going to feel hard a lot. But that new idea that I get, that new what if burning question, it sits in my brain somewhere in the back and it starts to grow and it pushes me to finish what I'm working on now, because now I have a new cool idea that I want to think about, but I can't do it until I'm done with the one I'm on. So those things kind of keep me going and inspired.
Thank you.
And you guys. Because especially when I tell you I'm writing a book or I have a new idea for a book, now everybody starts wondering when it's going to be done. So boy, you guys are good for the pressure.
Thank you. Have you ever changed or adapted your creative process?
Every day. I think that a creative process has to change with every project, with every moment you're in. I will tell you right now, being locked down, yeah, I work at home, so it's great. I should be able to just crank out this stuff all the time. All of us writers are like, yeah, we're at home. We should be able to like focus and really write. I am not used to having my 12-year-old and my husband working in my same space the entire time. I'm not used to making 3 meals a day and being in charge of cleaning the entire house because there's 3 people at home. Like there's 20 bazillion other things that now I'm like wrapping myself around it. It used to be that I would work more after, like work during the day when no one's here. And then when they all went to bed at night, because they all had to get up earlier in the morning to go places. They don't have to get up as early anymore. So they don't go to bed as early, which means I don't get to like my computer to work at night at the same time. So you kind of have to adapt. You find ways around it. I've been known to write poolside when my son is taking swimming lessons. When I'm revising, I have been known to not sleep. There are some times where you have to just say, you know what, this idea isn't ready yet. And as much as you want to sit down to write, you have to kind of adapt and say, I've got to give myself more time for research. I have to give myself more time to think. Sometimes I feel like I'm supposed to do it on my own, but I have to call my agent. My literary agent's like kind of my lifeline. She represents all the work I do. I can move from publisher to publisher to publisher and work with different editors, but she's kind of my rock. And I'll just call her and start yammering at her sometimes because I just need someone. I just need to say it out loud. And I need to say it out loud to my person because my cat just doesn't react at all. I mean, I guess he does, but it's mostly, you know, he wants food. So I need somebody to give me some feedback, even if it's, she's like, uh-huh, that sounds good. Uh-huh. Like she has like nothing to say, but I just need to talk to somebody. I need to talk it through. Sometimes you need to take walks. In this specific book that I'm working on, I got so far and I think I can outline the next so many pages. There's a lot of things that I have holes on that I have questions on. But in this book, I've actually outlined ahead because I think I needed to. But it was only after I got so far into the book, I went, oh, I think I can see a couple steps ahead and I'm going to try this time. So every process is a little bit different. Because every story is different, every circumstance you're writing in different, and I am different in every moment. I keep changing and growing. So I have to keep changing my process.
And for now that we're in quarantine, has quarantine helped you to have more ideas?
Oh, I have so many ideas. So many ideas. I will say quarantine has made me wish that I hadn't started working. As much as I'm excited about the book that I'm working on now, I created this whole scenario for kind of a near future world in which there's something called medical morality and where people are trying to say that certain people that are older or have incurable diseases, it's okay to like let them die. Like we shouldn't be, well, which kind of has become suddenly in the last month a thing in the United States about all of this. And it's totally freaking me out because that was not supposed to be the case. Like it's a little weird to be writing what people might sort of actually be saying out there because it was supposed to be fiction. Like I never dreamt it was going to be like sort of feel real. So, you know, quarantine has made me a little weird about what I'm writing now. But yeah, no, it's given me a lot of ideas. It gives you a lot of thought. And it also makes quarantine, though, being a writer makes quarantine a little weird. Because all of us writers with these things can see, we're used to asking not just what if, but trying to like look 5, 6, 10 steps down the road at all the things that could happen from this scenario. And it makes it a little nerve-wracking. Because we could see how this is the beginning of a dystopian novel, which I don't know if you guys have read many dystopian novels. The Giver was always my favorite one that a lot of like, you know, fourth and fifth graders were reading by Lois Lowry. I adore that novel. The movie, not so much. But you know, you could see how it could start to turn into a dystopian novel, or we could just be in the backstory of a really cool, the world all comes together and great heartfelt journey. Like, I don't know which one we're going to be in. I know which one I'd like to be in. Like, I would like to make sure that we change the genre right now to something way better than where we could go. So hopefully we'll all do this way better. Like, it could be a great, like, we've learned that lower pollution is better for all of us. And because we have lowered the pollution levels because everyone's stuck at home. And what does that look like? I'm hoping that's the novel we're in. But I have all sorts of ideas for what could happen afterwards, which I suppose gives me lots of ideas for what I could write after this.
Thank you. The last question is, what advice would you give to some people that want to work in the same area as you?
Oh, well, either, you know, performance or writing, to me, they often feel a lot like the same thing because it's all about story. But I guess my advice to anybody who is in a creative field is you're going to hear no a lot. And not just because you created something and someone's going to give you a critique of it, although that is so going to happen all the time. And, you know, that's a whole thing that you're going to have to get good at. But you're going to hear no from people who tell you that you shouldn't go into these fields, that you shouldn't want to do things. Oh, it's great as a hobby. There's a lot of people that think the creative fields are better as hobbies. There's a lot of people who think that, you know, there needs to be a better goal at the end than just, I've got a book. And then you have to write another book. Like, they're waiting for you. Like, no, be an accountant or be a scientist. Although right now being a scientist seems like a really good plan. But, you know, go into the technical fields. Like, those are safer. They're more secure. They're better financially. They're, you know, there's all these things that people will say. And you know what? Yeah. Or they'll tell you you're not good enough for it right now. You know what? You're not that good a drawer, or you're not that good a singer. You're not that good a writer. So why would you want to write? You know what? You're going to get better. Just because you aren't great on day one doesn't mean you're not going to be great on day 100 or day 1000 or 2000. It sometimes can take a while. Remember, it took me 5 books before I first got published. I went to one dinner theater for 5 years, auditioned 5 shows every year. And it was 5 years later before I first got my first callback. I so was certain that the director hated me. And I love showing up. And in my head, I'm like, I know you hate me. And I'm here to torture you just for 5 minutes. Like, I was wonderful. Turns out that he actually had been trying to work with me a very long time. You don't know what you can do until you try. So don't let, I think a lot of creative people are often derailed by other people who say they know more, telling you you're doing it wrong, or you're not talented enough. You know what? Every day you show up and you create something that's just brand new to you, that's important. And it's worthwhile. And yeah, you're gonna get better at it. You're gonna be better, you're gonna become better as a person. But the most important thing is people will tell you that, oh, that's been done before as a creative type. You'll hear, oh, well, don't write that story, that's already been written. No, it hasn't. That drawing hasn't been done. None of that's been done before because you haven't done it. Your perspective is what you bring to something. You could tell the exact same story I've done, but because you're a different person, it will be wildly different. And that's worth all of us seeing.